Welcome to Pickle Me This, the officially unofficial podcast for Rick and Morty on Cartoon Network's Adult Swim. I'm your host, Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Today, we're covering Season 4, Episode 5, Rattlestar Ricklactica. Here's Aaron with the recap.
Happy holidays! Rick and Morty treats us to another Christmas episode. Morty is racked by guilt as he's responsible for the death of a snake world's first female astro snake. He tried to mend the wrong by replacing the snake with the terrestrial version, setting in motion a series of time-spanning snake versions of John Connors and the Terminators battling it out for serpentine supremacy. Rick's solution is to accelerate the time shenanigans to a breaking point, which runs the snake world afoul of the time police, thereby ending the crisis. Also, Jerry is the fucking worst. So, Jim, the mid-season finale, the Christmas episode of Rick and Morty, Rattlestar Ricklactica, what'd you think?
I love this episode. I thought it was really funny, and like the Jerry stuff is just stupid, as Jerry stuff always is, which I love. And then all the stuff they do with the time travel, the different versions of time travel that you've seen in cinema over the years, like there's... fucking, there's Stargate stuff in here, which I know is not time travel, but there's...
Yeah, it kind of is.
Okay, yeah, fair. There's Terminator stuff, there's Bill and Ted stuff. Like, all of it kind of comes together into this melting pot of time travel that I thought was just great.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't think that 23 minutes is enough to properly lampoon the Terminator series, let alone, like, you know, everything short of Back to the Future. Which, you know, Rick and Morty already is
right.
A loose
parody.
This
is the most Rick and Morty episode that ever existed, right?
Yeah, and I love time travel shit. I love thinking about it, obsessing about it, thinking about paradoxes. It's a hell of a lot of fun, and, you know, we've taken it very, very seriously on, there's a little bit, not to spoil it, a little bit of possible time travel implications on this season of The Watchmen.
And Mr. Robot.
And Mr. Robot. They're always threatening to do time travel on that show. And it's nice just to sit back and watch something ludicrous that knows it's ludicrous.
Yeah.
Like, when those snakes showed up and it's a rapid-fire succession of trying to foil and succeed in the assassination of Adolf Snake Hitler, and they're just appearing out of portals left and right, bursting out of the room because there's so many of them, and, like, Snake Hitler's just sitting there in the bath like, what the fuck? And there's like a 2-minute silent film that's like the introduction of Stargate, only in snake form.
I love it when they go to grab that teacher. It's like an Indiana Jones moment.
Yes.
It's like a Stargate moment.
They got the snake general calling up the snake president, and there's no dialogue. It's just hissing.
And the thing that this show can do that those other very serious time travel tales can't do is take it to its logical conclusions.
Which is absurdity.
Right. It always ends. Time travel always ends in absurdity. It has to.
Yeah.
And so, you know, John Connors, there should have been 100,000 John Connors raining from the sky in Terminator. They all should have been going after Skynet. There should have been robots everywhere in our modern day.
Sure.
And even in the past, like, humanity's existence should have just been filled with robots trying to kill us.
Sure. Yeah.
But they don't do that in that movie because they can't. It's too stupid.
Mm-hmm.
This show can't. And I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
And then the way they intersect this and bring back old Rick and Morty stuff, like the time cops.
Yeah.
It didn't even cross my mind that the time cops would come and intervene here, and that could be what Rick's up to.
Yeah.
But it makes perfect sense.
As soon as he says you blow past the time cops and they cut to this dimension where the cats are floating around, I'm like, oh God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And I love a good Christmas episode. I thought the Anatomy Park was a decent one. You know, we just coincidentally over this weekend, one of our family's Christmas routines is we watch a bunch of Christmas media, and one of them have in the last few years has been season 2 and season 3's Christmas episode from Community, which is the whole cast is claymation in one of them. The season 3 one involves a rap where Troy pretends to be an undercover Christmas celebrator because he's a Jehovah's Witness. He's Jehovah's most secret witness. He's infiltrating Christmas from the inside. And I fucking love it. And it's clear to me that Dan loves Christmas. And this isn't the most Christmassy episode, but you got Jerry hanging up lights and making an ass of himself. And the freeze frame as Rick's punching Morty at the end with the Merry Christmas.
Yeah,
it's great.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
We've got lots of ongoing coverage this week, from book versus show comparisons for Hot D to the latest very special episode of Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? But there are a couple of main events this week you need to know about.
Firstly, we've got a brand new commission podcast out this Tuesday covering The Raid 2, sometimes subtitled Retaliation. If you're a fan of martial arts films, this is one you don't want to miss. Iko Uwais is a rising star in the action movie world, and it's easy to see why. Join us on Tuesday as we dive into the bigger, badder sequel to The Raid, try and figure out which is better.
Then on Thursday, we're covering the season finale of Hulu's excellent period drama, Shogun. We've been waiting all season to see what Toranaga-sama's plan is, or if he even has one. It all comes down to this, and we couldn't be more excited. Join us on Thursday for what's sure to be an epic Shogun season finale podcast, and to find out if we plan to cover any related materials.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
So before we go on to the episode, we have a little bit of bad news for Pickle Me This, or maybe it's good news if you hate the show. If you've been a long term fan of Bald Move, and if not, this is an education. We don't typically do comedies because it's hard. It's hard to do comedies in kind of a structured, long form, analytical way without just it devolving into, hey, wasn't that moment funny? But we have always liked Rick and Morty. We talked about Rick and Morty a lot on our Bald Move Television podcast, and when we were approached by Starburns Audio to do a kind of official Rick and Morty podcast, we were excited to and we rolled up our sleeves, and obviously we did a lot of work. We did 3.5 seasons of content so far, but unfortunately a lot of plans we had as far as that a collaboration that didn't fully materialize. You know, obviously we had big plans for season 4 as far as guests and stuff that hasn't come together, and some of the economic side of it hasn't come together. So unfortunately, we're going to mothball Pickle Me This. Rick and Morty are going into mid-season hiatus, and when they come back, we will not be here. Where we will be talking about Rick and Morty is on our Bald Move Television podcast, which you can find by searching for Bald Move Television wherever you listen to podcasts. And I won't promise like full episode recaps, but we'll be talking about the season there like we have before.
And we already have an episode over there where we talked again with Gus Cirola from Rooster Teeth.
Yeah.
About two weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we kind of the season up to where we're at.
Yeah. And we might be doing some more of that in the future. But again, like I said, it just didn't quite work out the way we wanted to. We appreciate everybody listening thus far. Any people that have discovered us, you know, organically rather than following us from the Bald Move Network. You know, we do lots of television and movie coverage on baldmove.com, lots of different movies and television shows all the time that I'm sure you'd be interested in. And we will still be talking about Rick and Morty over on Bald Move Television. So again, thanks for so long, and thanks for all the fish. Let's just steal from Douglas Adams on our way out. Let's do our traditional dive into the episode. It's so funny because I've been, you know, it's Christmas time. I watched, you know, Christmas Story here recently. When Rick said, stay in the car, and he said, I've seen this episode, I thought they were going to refer to A Christmas Story about, like, you know, when kids come out to help with flat tires. But he was going more and like, I think this literally happens in every space movie when more than two people go out the airlock. Someone goes spinning off. It's Tommy Lee Jones to Brad Pitt, it's somebody's always spinning off, and
which it's
and
really
being lost. It's George Clooney.
Yeah, it's the presence of the person who doesn't go spinning that causes the problem.
Yes.
Because if you're inside a ship and someone goes spinning off, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
And you can just say, well, there's nothing we can do. That person is gone. We can mourn them.
Mm-hmm.
when you're outside, you can try and use your EVA suit, your little thrusters. Yeah. You can try and get your ropes and your shit and jump after them.
Yeah.
And that just causes more problems.
Yes. Yeah. Now you got two astronauts spinning off control.
Yeah.
But
and there's probably shrapnel involved. Uh-huh, and yeah.
Uh-huh. But I just something really tickled me about like Rick telling him not to go in there. This snake slithering up, and it's got a specially made spacesuit so it can bite. It has like little fang airlocks that it can bite him, and it does bite him. And like Morty's like, I didn't know snakes were in space. And Rick screams, literally everything is in space, which is true.
Totally true.
Everything on Earth, don't want to blow in your space. Mind, people. It's also in space.
Yeah.
I just love the concept of like, yes, you dumbass, literally everything is in space. It's, and there's also just so many silly things like the flat tire. He has a full. Like Morty points out, it's like, why does it feel like, oh, I got a fully immersive flat tire experience?
Or he could just do the Christopher Walken one.
Which pays off later when he's talking about like being at the recording. Like, how did he get Christopher Walken to personally record this not fully immersive Walken tire experience?
I love when Morty's face gets sucked by the vacuum when Rick opens the door.
Yeah, because he's got no airlock on that thing.
Right, it's great.
Yeah, it's like Dr. Manhattan forgetting to make an atmosphere on Mars for people to breathe. Like,
yeah, just the animation there.
Yeah, it's reminded me of like this was like really popular in the 70s and early 80s, like these monsters that drove these like monster machines. Maybe they were called monster machines, but they always had like, you know, like these crazy distorted ape or bear type figures, and their eyeballs were coming out because of the speed. And do you remember that stuff?
Like
a hot rod thing, but it's always monsters driving it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vaguely, I remember that. Yeah.
I feel like there's a little bit of that that influence there.
Mm-hmm.
But and then like Morty trying his best to, because the thing is like Rick didn't say that this snake civilization was going to die because of what Morty did. In fact, like I feel like Morty had to look pretty hard to find that in the moral. Like what Rick said about, I love the Jeff Foxworthy. It's like if you bite your first contact on the ankle, you might be a type civilization zero neck.
Uh-huh.
Did you look into that? That there's like
no, is that a thing?
Yeah, there's it's called the Kardashev scale, and like type zero is essentially we're between type zero and type one. Type one is a civilization that's capable of harnessing and storing all energy produced or reflected on a planet.
Hmm.
Okay, so if we were able to use 100% of solar energy we got and all of our fossil fuels and all of our nuclear fuels, we'd be a type one civilization.
Don't you need like a Dyson sphere for that or something?
Well, that's a different type of skew, but like a type two can use all of the energy in a solar system, type three, a galaxy, type four, universal, type five is multiversal.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Rick is a type five being.
I think, the Rick's consortium is a type five civilization, apparently.
Huh.
But these snakes are just too big of assholes. Kind of like the Wasp planet, I suppose.
Well, I mean, the reason Rick doesn't want any of this to happen is not because, it's going to end their civilization. It's because he's going to fuck up his day.
Right.
Like, that's the reason Rick always wants to stay out of these situations with Morty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he wants to do what he wants to do, and this is going to get in the way.
Yeah. I love the concept of snake jazz, which is essentially, what is that? Is that where you brush like a symbol? Is that how you get that?
Oh yeah. The brushes. Yep.
Yeah. So it's like, I love that.
That's great. And Summer's loving it too.
Yeah.
Summer and her friends.
So that's funny. Cause like the last time we saw Summer and this girl were arch enemies because this girl had gotten bigger breasts than Summer and Ethan had broken up with her. I wonder what happened to Ethan's Cronenberg ass.
Huh.
Because that was who that was dating. Like these, yeah. But and also
she's roaming the Pacific Northwest as a Yeti at this point. This is what Bigfoot is.
Yeah, a blob Yeti. Yeah. And also like they've got Nancy, the kind of nerdy one there. They're still including her in a friend group, although it seems like she's the one down in the situation.
She's the one who's got the right of it though.
Mm-hmm.
Like can you alter a species evolutionary line without massive repercussions? She's thinking bigger picture here,
and she's absolutely right. They're just dancing
to snake jazz.
She's absolutely right. I bet Nancy got bit and died in the resulting craziness.
Probably.
But the whole sequence of the snake planet retrieving the space snake, all the government goon snakes, the obscure scientist theory snake. They end up fucking, I think.
They do.
Which that's also kind of pure Stargate. Like, of course, Daniel goes to this world and falls in love with an ancient Egyptian slave girl and, you know, can go from not being able to speak each other's language to fucking in like a day or two. I thought that at first I thought that I couldn't figure out what the gag was, whether the terrestrial snake was essentially like sub snake human to them and they couldn't understand it. Or that the Earth snake is just as intelligent. There was a communication problem. Because when the snake started fucking, I thought, like, is this like a snake going to eat this other snake? Like, what's the deal? But I think they're fucking.
Yeah, I think they're fucking. And also, I guess I viewed them just as there was a communication barrier that they were trying to
There's
overcome.
A whole lot of other meta stuff going on. Like, there is a snake coming to protect the half alien snake, half terrestrial snake's babies. There is a hybrid human snake that sent from the future protect Jerry. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like what like Morty did, like did a lot more fucking up with the timeline than like there's like now half human snakes, half terrestrial snake, half alien snakes.
Oh, yeah.
Like what all kinds of shit is going on? And also, like, the snakes themselves, like, are, like, questioning the internal logic of their missions. Like, this doesn't... I think it's great.
I feel like there are a lot of time travel movie references that I don't get that are packed in here, too. I get the obvious ones, Terminator, the Bill and Ted, the stuff like that.
When Rick paused Beth, that's, like, that shitty Adam Sandler movie.
Oh, geez, Click?
Click, I
Click
think.
And Christopher Walken's in
the
that.
Was the scientist that developed the thing.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, and so it's, like, it all ties together.
I was just thinking, is Beth a robot? Is Beth a clone? Like, are we supposed to be thinking that? Probably not.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just a device.
Yeah, I haven't even thought about... Yeah, we're five episodes in and I don't know that I have any more clarity about whether Beth's a clone or not.
I don't think so. And even if she is, I don't think this, or isn't, this doesn't shed any more light on it. Because this is like a function of a robot or a device that can control any human. Clone has nothing to do with being able to be paused.
Yeah, that's so, not intrinsic.
Even though, like, he has made robot clones in the past, which got me thinking,
yeah,
is this like a Morty Summer robot clone type of thing?
Plus, with the Adam Sandler movie, like, that wasn't about robots or clones. It was just an intrinsic pausing technology.
It was a magic thing, yeah.
Yeah. But I also love that, like, Rick's got this... he's got these meat puppets that he can telekinetically control to emulate people's voices. He had, like, a pizza guy... For some reason, and then he's got Jerry.
Jerry's, his head, just his head, and it's all like, it's all annihilationed.
Yeah,
like it's half fungus and half head.
Yeah,
it's fucked up, man.
Yeah,
I loved it.
And also, like, I'll eat your whole world. It's like, Jerry, dad, my dad can hear you.
She thought that was sexy in that voice.
Well,
I have to imagine.
Maybe
the shenanigans
this is what
that
brings her
place.
Back. Like. Jerry's head game is on point.
There you go.
Like,
he
put all of his stats in oral sex and everything, his charisma, intellect, everything else is just a dump stat for maximizing his skill at that one area. I mean, it almost makes sense.
What gear do you have that upsets stat?
I don't know. Have we seen the man's tongue?
We have not.
The Jerry's misadventures, like, this is a theme with him. The second he gets a little bit of something, he's got to go show it off. Like, his idea of what you can do with neutrally buoyant powers is to go and beat urban youth in a game of street basketball.
Right.
And plus, it's so funny. Like, you think about White Man Can't Jump and how, like, oh, it's all this racial back and forth. It's like, I thought this was part of street ball. I guess, because, yeah, well, now it's part of everything. So fucking cool it.
Yeah.
It's so great.
We're playing street ball to escape that shit, man.
Yeah, exactly. and Jerry's like, oh, I just have this special power that I want to celebrate before it goes away. He's like, we got a Nazi here. I just think that's... Yeah, and Rick, like, joking about, there's no way Jerry can kill himself unless he just can fuck up wearing shoes. And then instantly, like, oh my God, Jerry's going to die.
And putting up Christmas lights is such a perfect, I guess, metaphor for this neurosis that Jerry has, right? Where, like you said, he takes everything and he wants to show it off.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, what is Christmas lights other than trying to impress your neighbors?
It's true.
To a point. I mean,
yeah. For solidarity, you do it a little bit, at least. But yeah, then you get the competitive aspect.
And a little bit for yourself. But I think, yeah, you can get into competition there.
Yeah.
And that is Jerry in this episode. Jerry does not want Rick's help. Jerry is going to make his own way here.
On the other hand, I was somewhat impressed by Jerry, like, making a catch basin out of his pants to weigh it down with rain to get
pretty
to
smart.
The ground. Like, he almost made it.
Mm-hmm.
Then he like gets his ass kicked by a series of ceiling fans in a bar. Like,
hilarious.
Why can't he just walk? Why can't he just leave the bar? Why does he have to like argue about having the rock? He's, I don't know. And then like the plane gamut was pretty cool. That's pretty like I don't know if I needed them illustrating his fingernails being ripped off trying to hold on to his plane.
So I think they fucked this up. Okay.
Let me
create the timeline here for you. Mm-hmm. Jerry, at the beginning of the episode, when Rick makes him floaty and his shoe's very heavy, he sets a timer.
Okay.
Kind of a spite timer, right? Like, it's like, oh, I'm not gonna spend the next 10 hours doing this. And so he's going to spend the next 9 hours and 50 minutes doing it.
Right.
And he tries to set his timer. Mm. Siri tries to order him some fucking whatever, because so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he does. But then he clearly set a timer at some point. But it seems that he set it for the full 10 hours. That second timer that he set.
Was right on the money to the second.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in my mind, he must have changed his mind at some point and said, well, I'm going to just... But wouldn't you want a fucking warning? If you're up in in the air,
yeah, no,
floating around, you need at least 10 minutes to get down.
Yeah.
Before your power just switches off.
Thank God that the plane went by when it did, and he's able to hitch a ride on it. But also, I like the idea that he probably killed hundreds of people. In his quest to prove that he is worthy of Beth's love and admiration.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I love how the show itself is in on the joke now. Like, when Rick and Morty slam the door on, like, you know, after Jerry, he miraculously survives, gets back. He's already got a pat excuse about why he couldn't help out because he can't hear Beth over his own screaming. They talked about this. And then as he's bragging to Rick about how he did it all of himself, he falls off the fucking roof and breaks his leg. And then Rick heals at 50%. But as they're shutting the door on him, they're like, Jesus Christ, your dad's the fucking worst. Like, he just... I wonder if because like I've seen glimmers of hope that like Rick is learning some lessons, like Morty's learning some lessons, so, like ever, but like Jerry just keeps spiraling deeper and deeper into his bullshit.
Yeah, and he's heading more toward, I don't know, the I don't even know what to call it, but you look at his actions and the ramifications they're having, and I see them as almost approaching Rick levels. Like, okay, Rick's got a battery that has an entire civilization enslaved to producing the power for his car.
Sure.
Well, Jerry's dooming, murdering people to prove that he doesn't need Rick's help. Like, these are two very arrogant. Is it right to say that
Jerry is
arrogant at this point?
It's anger, or it's arrogance and entitlement. It's just that Rick has kind of, like he said, like like he was talking about neutrally buoyant atmosphere is conceptually better than walking on water. But what do I know? I wasn't born into the God business. I earned it.
Right.
Like, you can say a bunch of shit about Rick, and certainly I don't think he's a happy or like what you'd call a traditionally successful human being. But the competence he shows is undeniable.
Yeah.
When he's not like, you know, when he's taking shit seriously and not getting day drunk and fucking up entire civilizations, that is, and forgetting, you know, colloquialisms like taking for granted. He's pretty, but Jerry's just fucking a goddamn mess all the time.
He is. And Rick is, don't get me wrong, orders of magnitude worse as far as the atrocities he's committed and without shedding a single tear.
Right.
But Jerry's starting to get worse and worse in that regard.
Yeah. I also really love the fact that, like, Rick tore up Morty's card, because this counts as your adventure, because you should have stayed in the fucking car. And there's something kind of interesting about parenting, because this has happened to me, where like I'm bummed that the punishment I have to give my son, because I was really looking forward to doing the thing.
We can't go to King's Island.
Yeah, because you fucking, you know, you did say
I stayed up too late.
Yeah, you got a D on your math test, and now you can't do the thing. But goddamn it, this weekend I was looking forward to doing the thing. But you can't go to Boob World. Rick's like, this sucks.
And Summer doesn't want to go this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, so the only thing I didn't quite get is when Rick and Morty from the past or future came to give them their chores, like, you know, and they were being dicks about it. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, the guys before us were dicks. And then they're like, what was that all about? Because, like, why does Rick
ever... It
seems
like a weird chain of events here. Like, so... So I thought he was reminding himself. I thought he was having the Bill and Ted moment from the jail where they're getting the keys from themselves in the past.
So now...
But it's a third party that comes to them, right? It's not themselves having this idea.
It has to be, though, because then as they enjoy their eggnog, then they remember that they have, oh, right, we got to do this or it won't get done. That's what I'm saying.
So is it them from another time traveling to this moment to tell them, hey, you need to get this done because this is the moment when it needs to be done?
I think so.
Okay, this is their future selves coming back in time to tell them they've got to do this.
Yeah.
But they didn't know that going in. They weren't presented with snake suits and all this shit.
Yeah, because the Bill and Ted thing works is like Bill or Ted will put their hands like, oh, I gotta think that we gotta do that, and then they reach down into a bush, and the thing that they need is in the bush because they remembered in the future to go put it there, and then when they're in the past, see, I don't know. That I in my notes I wrote Rick and Morty from the past slash. Future question mark? Because I really don't know. I don't know how that works. But the thing that so that's another fascinating thing I wasn't intending to bring up. But the what I wanted to bring up was, why is Rick and Morty ever shocked or annoyed that other Rick and Mortys are complete dicks to them?
Oh yeah, because they're dicks to their other Rick and Mortys too.
Yeah, and like a lot of times like it's because the joke because we saw these Rick and Mortys from the future bringing the stuff to them and they were all assholes about it. But the joke doesn't work because every Rick interaction between a Rick and a Morty has always been like at best abrupt. I mean, the only time it's been cordial is like on the Wasp planet.
Yeah.
And they explain that because like, you know, asshole Wasp Rick is such an asshole in his existence that he tries to be a kind, empathetic person to balance it out. Like I think there's a really funny joke there. I didn't get it.
Yeah, I feel like this whole thing is Rick trying to not re-Cronenberg this particular dimension.
Yeah.
With these snakes.
Yeah.
Because like if you look at the Bill and Ted situation or Arrival, right? Where there's information passed from the future to the past, that necessarily implies that you survive the current situation you're in. So it's not like Rick and Morty were going to die because of this snake apocalypse, right? Because they live on to then come back to the past and deliver these snake suits to themselves. It just means that shit was going to be inconvenient for Rick. This whole snake thing was just going to mess up his day, and he needed to create time travel on the snake planet in order to fix that, which is funny because it's already fucked up his whole day. It's just a different day, right?
Yeah, because he's it's fucked up his future day.
Yeah,
because he has to borrow from the future to do. Yeah, and I see why now Rick and Morty avoid the time travel stuff, because it's hard to do it right, and now that they've done it wrong. Like, why would they ever go back and do a time? Like, unless they have like the silver bullet.
What do you mean they've done it wrong?
Well, I mean this episode is essentially none of this holds up. All these paradoxes are ridiculous.
Okay,
if you analyze any one of them, they probably fall apart. So it's like
sure, but I think they did it very right.
No, making the joke about how how ridiculous time travel would get if you dip your toe in it. Like you can make that joke once. The next time they do it, it's not going to be funny. So like
right,
the next time they do time travel, they either have to do it straight up, which means they're vulnerable to all the nitpicking that goes in, or they just don't ever fucking do it. Like, this might be the time travel story we get.
I was going to say, because they talked a long time about not doing time travel and how they had never done time travel. Yeah. They're not going to do time travel. Uh-huh. Like, that episode where they talked about Rick being gone for 50 years or whatever and right. fucking everything on a planet and coming right. back and then healing Morty's leg, which I think is the first episode,
yeah,
is not time travel. It's right. time dilation or right, something right, like right, that right. Or, yeah. or just... Mm-hmm. something else, but then here they come and do an explicit time travel episode.
But it's to show how ridiculous it is.
Yes.
So it's like the next time, if they
I think
do
I'm with it, you.
The next time they do one, it has to be an actually good premise, which is so very
that,
hard to
that
do.
That I would welcome. I would love to see
oh yeah,
Dan and Justin take on an actual time travel story that hangs together, like yeah. like something like Primer.
Yeah,
or,
it's tight. Yeah.
Right, that they take seriously as Rick and Morty ever takes anything seriously,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I would like to see that one more time travel episode, and then I think you're right, they should be done.
But I also think it perfectly explains why Rick doesn't travel in time, because it's just more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, you know, like, you can't fix anything. You go back to try to, you know, prevent the assassination of Abraham Snake Lincoln, and you hasten the rise of Adolf Snake Hitler, and the try it's then you know
Adolf Hissler.
Hissler, there
Adolf
you go.
Adolf Hissler.
That's
yeah.
the one for sure. Oh God, the Rick granting Snake legs and threatening him with like, okay, who else wants legs? Yeah,
them.
Like it's these giant things you don't know how to use, right. and now you can't move. All right, who else wants legs, huh?
Yeah, but the way that they blend they. So Rick outsmarts the universe here, right? Like, he's able to call upon the time cops to fix his day.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I fucking loved how they tied that back in. I was not expecting it. It came out of nowhere for me, but in retrospect, it makes perfect sense. And Rick looks like the smartest guy in the room again.
Yeah, yeah. I know of this bot. Because did he even know about the time cops before the events of the second season
question.
Premiere.
I don't remember all the nuances of that first appearance.
Cause
I couldn't say.
I felt like that was kind of new information to him.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool that he's able to use that against them like two seasons later.
Yeah.
That's why I think I'm feeling stronger than ever that if we're not going to find out about the Beth, we're not going to get an answer to Beth until we've almost forgotten about it.
Sure.
Like middle of season six or climax of season six, you're going to get a resolve to the Beth as an android or clone.
Well, then you can't keep pausing her and reminding me about it. You can't keep reminding me and then wait until I forget.
Well, it's funny because until you said that, I completely forgot that couldn't, like, unless okay. you knew the Adam Sandler reference, that is kind of like hard evidence that she's not human. Because how the fuck can you pause I mean, Rick could probably do it, but...
Yeah, I just think any device Rick pulls out does what it needs to do.
Yeah, yeah. And I have no problem believing that. Mm-hmm. And anything else we want to...
Then there's the tag at the end where Rick and Morty create these snakes costumes, which we kind of talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But I always want to mention, hey, there's a tag at the end.
Yep.
And Rick punches Morty, giving him this black eye that Morty had questioned. Like, why does my character have a black eye?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I don't even think at that point Rick would know. It's just like a thing that,
yeah.
you know, he wouldn't have that information.
Yeah, it's a wonder if, like, the seeing Rick Morty have the black eyes, like, reminded, you know, was the cause of it. It's like, this fucker really does. Like, he should stay in the car next time. I'm going to... So, like, it's also hilarious because, canonically, this is a grandpa just punching the fuck out of his 14-year-old kid.
Which
but on
is
the other
hilarious.
Hand, when you look at the scope of what fucking Morty's done by not staying in the car, it's
right,
like...
Right, right. The black eye is... A pretty quaint punishment
here. Yeah, like corporal punishment if you almost end civilization by snake apocalypse. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not saying Morty deserves it, but he's a cartoon character and he kind of deserved it. So on that positive, uplifting note, we are leaving Pickle Me this mm-hmm. in the pickle jar. Maybe we'll open it up in the
sweet
future.
Brine. Yeah, I'm gonna turn myself into a pickle. Use my brine to track the rats.
Yep, and going to try to get flushed through the sewers and wind up back up on Bald Move Television. That's where we'll be discussing Rick and Morty in the future. If you'd like to get more of that, again, thanks for everybody for listening. It's been a short but brief career as a Rick and Morty podcaster. Mm-hmm. Thanks for everybody. Give us a listen. All the rates and reviews on iTunes. We really appreciate it. Wish it had worked, but it didn't. So. Just like, I wish time travel were real, but it's not. So we will see you on Bald Move TV. And until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
Pickle Me This is distributed by Bald Move in association with Starburns Audio. It's produced by Jason Smith and Scott Porch from Starburns, and myself, Ben Aaron, from Bald Move. All music featured on this podcast is from the Rick and Morty soundtrack, available from Sub Pop Records. Please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. To discover the many other great shows we do, please check out baldmove.com and starburns.audio. If you appreciate what we do and want to directly support us, consider joining our club at club.baldmove.com to get access to exclusive bonus audio and video features. Finally, you can follow us on your favorite social media at Bald Move. See you next time.